Then I stop, put on the brakes, park the damn thing. Some people have written that my writing has helped them to go on. It's helped me too. The drinking, the writing, the horses, the 8 cats, my wife. There's a small balcony here. The door is open. I can see the lights of all the cars on the Harbor Freeway South. They never stop, that roll of lights on and on. All those people, what are they doing? What are they thinking? We're all set to die, all of us. What a circus. That alone should make us love each other, but it doesn't. We are terrorized and flattened by trivialities. We are eaten up by nothing. Keep it going, Mahler. You made this a wondrous night. Don't stop.
From WQCS Studios, you're listening to Pioneer Radio, a student-centered program bringing you the voices of Indian River State College from the campus to the community. On today's program, Manushka Tulusma talks with Annette McRoberts-Godfrey and Lily Grace from the Student Ambassador Club. And later, we will hear my conversation with Janae Speed, Director of Student Support Services. We'll hear those stories plus more coming up in the next hour. My name's Amanda, and you're listening to Pioneer Radio. To start us off, Joe Phelps speaks with Vice President Dr. Tina Hart about guided pathways and the development of emotional skills such as grit.
With us today, very special guests, Vice President of Enrollment and Student Services, Dr. Tina Hart, to talk about the Guided Pathways Project. So what is the Guided Pathways Project and how did IRSC get involved?
Well, it's two things. Guided pathways are really student success plans that help students decide what pathway they're going to stay on and pursue depending on what they want to major in. Now, a year ago, we were selected as one of 30 colleges to be involved with the American Association of Community Colleges Pathways Project. And so that's a different thing, but we were selected because of our work with guided pathways and because students are required to establish a guided pathway. Guided pathways, really what guided pathways are by definition, it is helping students establish a path so that they don't waste time and money in pursuing what they want to major in. And here at Indian River, they sit down with an advisor and they establish their guided pathway in a meeting that's called a Getting to Know You session with the advisor.
Would that come in the first semester or would that...
When they start, when they register for classes their first semester, that kicks off their guided pathway. They follow a template, so to speak, and the advisor immediately, they're assigned an advisor and they receive a letter from the advisor inviting them in for a Getting to Know You appointment. During that appointment in the first term, they customize the guided pathway because that's when the advisor can do a little bit more questioning of, you know, so tell me what it is that you want to pursue and why, so we can figure out what classes that we should set up along and sequence on your pathway.
I'm sure you're aware many students end up changing their major at least once before graduating. How does Guided Pathways help students who are unsure about their career goals?
Guided Pathways is an excellent way for students to start thinking about their career goals early. One of the things that we are including that we're going to strengthen is the career conversation at the very beginning. And we're starting that in new student orientation. We have a brand new student orientation model that will be rolled out March 31st. And in that orientation, after the welcome, the next conversation is about careers. And it's guiding students to look at career coach, to complete a career assessment, and to start reflecting immediately on what they think they want to major in. And we just want them to start thinking about that early. And so they with orientation, the changes to orientation, they'll be able to do that. So now let's fast forward. They get on a guided pathway. They think they want to pursue a degree in history. And now they're in their second term, third term, and they start thinking, well, maybe I would rather go to law school and major in political science. So that would mean a change to some of the courses that they're taking. History is a good degree, is a appropriate degree prior to law school, but they may want to change to political science. So sitting down with their advisor to tweak the courses on their guided pathway. Once they set their guided pathway, it's locked. And they can change the sequence of courses on their pathway term to term, as long as the courses they're selecting when they register online are on the pathway. But if they select a course that's not on their pathway, they get an alert. The advisor gets an alert. It's like, warning, you have just registered for something that's not on your guided pathway. Please come and see me, because that might mean that they're thinking about another major, and they may not know that, oh, wow, we need to sit down and talk about this so that we can make sure the rest of the courses on your pathway line up with what you now have decided you want to do. So it's very hands-on in trying to help students get on the path and stay on the path. And if they want to change, and most students do change their major, if they want to change, that they are able to fix the pathway as early as possible.
Incoming students are unsure about what they want to major in. What are their options or meta majors? Are there majors available to them?
Yes, on our website we have a page under Programs and Careers that when you click on that on the homepage, it opens up to the page that has our 8 meta majors. And meta majors are a great way for students to start that conversation and to start thinking about what they want to do and what they want to pursue. The 8 categories are arts, humanities, communications, and design. That's one. Another one is business. Another one is education, health sciences, industry, manufacturing, and construction, public safety, science, technology, engineering, and math. We also call that STEM. And the last one is social and behavioral science and human services. On the web page, if you click on any of these meta majors, it opens up a sample template of what the courses would be if you were to pursue that particular meta major. Also on this page, we have a link to Career Coach. And Career Coach is a wonderful tool that is connected to our local workforce development called Career Source. They can look up any career and find out what is the projected job expectation in our area, what are the salaries that are projected to be included around those careers, and currently what's open in those positions within our 4-county district. There's also a video about meta majors, and we're currently working on a project that will include a video for each of the 8 meta majors with 5 questions that students should ask themselves if that's a particular field that they're considering going into. For example, a student might think, well, I think I want to go into health science. Actually, I think I'd like to be a nurse. The video will include the questions such as, to be a nurse, you will deal with body fluids and blood. If that's something that is problematic, then you might you know, want to consider perhaps another area of health science. So trying to provide questions that they can think about, because they may not know, you know, until they get into it, what all would be involved in pursuing a career in that particular meta major. So the meta majors is a conversation that we're having with our students in our student success course, which is SLS 1101. We're also talking to them with new student orientation. And then we're also encouraging them to have these conversations in the high schools. And a lot of the high schools have career academies. Most of the high schools have career academies. Because the earlier a student can identify what is it that I want to do, then when they come to us, they're going to save time and money. Even if they end up switching majors, like we were talking about earlier. But to get started on a path towards a career, that's going to help them save money, save time, and get to the finish line a lot quicker.
My, people come and go so quickly here. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow.
Fried red snapper. Clean the fish, skin, and remove the backbone. Slice lengthwise in long thin strips. Roll up and fasten with a toothpick or skewer. Dip in egg, then in cracker dust, and fry in deep fat. Serve with tartar sauce.
If you would like to work with the Pioneer Radio team, sign up for MMC 2100 Writing for Mass Communication with Dr. Brooks, or attend the Radio Club's weekly meetings, Fridays from 1 to 3 at the station. Come join the fun where your voice can help make a difference.
Today I'm here with Jerenae Speed, and she is the Director of the Student Support Services. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic.
Good. Why don't we start with, do you have any mission statements or goals that you have with your group?
Well, the mission for the Student Support Service Program is we're committed to helping and assisting students in maximizing their potential, both academically as well as personally, and just helping them to achieve their goals and missions. So for us, retention and graduation is everybody's business. So it just happens to be ours, and that's where we specialize in.
Do you have any main benefits?
Our benefits of being in the program, once they're eligible, once a student is eligible for the program, and the eligibility is through federal guidelines, and that means that a student either have to be first generation, low income, or have a documented disability. They don't have to meet all of those criteria. They can only meet one. And so our goals is to actually help the students with their academics to make sure that they maintain and supersede a 2.0 GPA. Also, we want to retain them. We want to keep them here until they achieve their AA degree or AS degree. And then we want to help them transfer to the university. Our biggest goal is to not only retain them, but graduate them as well.
So why do you do what you do?
I can just tell you from the heart, I'm passionate about what we do. Because we actually encourage and empower and edify students to just supersede in what they think that their potential might be, and then giving them the encouragement to say, you have greater potential to do great things in life. My reasoning is because I, too, am first generation, low income, and documented, as I wasn't documented student, but was low income student. And so as a result of that, I get it. I get what a lot of students actually experience in life coming from that type of background. And so I am just elated. Like I said, I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about helping young people. We always discuss how young people are actually, they don't get it and that sort of thing. So we take the time to help them get it. And so they can become successful. So I'm passionate about it. That's all I can say. I'm so passionate. Students, everyone that knows me pretty much know that achieving success for students, achieving success for myself and for our staff, but also helping students achieve success.
How and where do you guys meet?
Well, we have the Achievers Club, and so right now we're located in Building J, Room 101, but we have Achievers Club as well within the program. So all students that are a part of the SSS program, they're also a part of the Achievers Club. We meet twice a month, and every other Thursday, and it is amazing because we offer workshops for them. They get a chance to chat and chew a little bit, to have lunch, and to just network with each other. And we all just make sure that it's a healthy learning experience for the students.
Do you have any plans for the future?
Plans for the future? Yes. I would love to see this program on every campus because we have students on all campuses that meet the criteria of the program. So I am hopeful that in the future we'll be able to do that. But until then, we're going to continue what we do, and that is encouraging and empowering students, edifying them, and making sure that they graduate, that they stay here at IRSC if they choose to, or if they choose to transfer to another university. We want to help them maximize their potential.
How can students learn more about the SSS group?
Well,
how can they find you?
What they can do is they can start by J101, and we are right there to assist them. We have Ms. Frances Alvarado in the office, and she usually pretty much oversees the office for us. She's like an office manager. She keeps us in check. And we have Mr. Frank Campos. He is our transfer coach. And we have Ms. Sophia McGee as well, and she's the academic coach. And so our number in J101 is 772-462-7480. So students can call that line and ask any questions that they may have. They can stop by the office, and we will be able to explain everything and how to get involved with the program, because they must have an application with us. And also, too, a student must have less than 30 credit hours. Because this is a federally funded program, we have to show the federal government how we're utilizing their money to help students in order to maximize and keep things going.
Is there anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to add?
Well, you know something. One thing about it is we offer a lot of different array of services for students. And those services are, you know, academic coaching. So we help students to make sure that they're on track. We make sure that students come in with the mindset of, I want to achieve success. And even if they decide, you know what, this might be a little tough, we're there to encourage them and let them know that we all went through life that way. And so if it's done for us, if we've been successful in our own personal lives, surely they can be, because there's no respect to person. Everybody is able to create their own learning environment, and it's up to them. So we actually give them tools and resources to assist them so that they will be successful here. And so understanding what their major is and making sure that they stay the course, we love on them, but we also get onto them as well when they're not doing well. We offer tutoring for them. We try our best to help students understand that there's a whole big world and you're in it and you can go as far as you would like to go. I always tell students, I have a lot of quotes and I'm about quotes, but one of my quotes is Mandela, and he talks about education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change your world. And I want our students to understand that with education, all things are possible. And yes, you will have struggles and you will go through trials and you will go through a lot in life. But as long as you keep the main thing and stay focused on your goals and make sure that you are just steadfast and unmovable, you can conquer greater things. It's one of my quotes that I've learned and I've created for myself, and that is called, people are grown. Stop trying to control their destiny. Their attitude and their behaviors will affect where they're going in life. So it's an amazing journey. We love it.
Make it, do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger, more than power, power, never, ever, after, work is over. Work it, make it, do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Baked Red Snapper 1. Prepare and clean the fish. Stuff with seasoned crumbs and chopped oysters. Put on a buttered tin sheet and lay into a baking pan. Sprinkle with salt, pepper, and flour, and bake for an hour, basting with melted butter and hot water as required. Serve with any preferred sauce.
From Fort Pierce, Florida, this is Pioneer Radio. And now we will hear the second part of Joe Phelps' interview with Dr. Tina Hart.
Criticisms of the old approach likened it to a cafeteria line where students had maximum freedom over what classes they enrolled in. How does Guided Pathways help better prepare students for the workforce
as compared to the older cafeteria approach?
Well, it used to be, and I remember when I was in school and I sat down with an advisor and I didn't know what I wanted to major in when I was a freshman. And I remember it being a period of exploration. No one expected you to know what you wanted to major in, so take a few classes. If you think you want to pursue a baccalaureate degree, you'll need an AA degree because that's our transfer degree. And so that's safe to go ahead and start your gen ed if you think you ultimately want to transfer and pursue a baccalaureate. And so I remember back in years ago that exploring in your first 2 years was encouraged because you may not know, and that was okay. But that cafeteria model where students took a little of this, a little of that, and in the meantime started using up their financial aid, they started using up credits that then we ran into legislation where excess hours became an issue. You could no longer just continue to take hours towards a two-year degree and go in excess of the 60 hours depending on the major that you were pursuing. An AS degree, some of the AS degrees require more than 60 hours. So that model really was not the best model for our students in terms of getting them out into the workforce as soon as possible. Because even if they're pursuing a four-year degree and then going to graduate school, it's all about time. And every year that they delay that, they're losing money that they would be making in a position that they'd be able to secure once they complete their academic studies. Even those students that are pursuing, like I said, four-year degree and beyond, but students that are pursuing a certificate program, an AS degree program, they're going to complete and be looking for that job immediately. And so we don't want them, staying too long. We want them to figure that out as soon as possible and get on with it. Often, too, students really enjoy their college experience, and they're not in a hurry to graduate. College is a wonderful time in your life, and it does go by very fast. But we want them to get on with their lives because in terms of the rest of their lives, it's the best thing. I mean, when you think about it, so we train young people and returning adults, whether it's 2 years, 4 years, or beyond, but then they're going to be in the work world another 30 years. And what's most important is that we're preparing them while they're with us for those 30 years. And that often has to do with the soft skills and what it means to be able to work on a team and to be effective in the workplace by being on time, being a critical thinker, problem solving. Those are very important learning outcomes that we also want to instill in our students because that's what will serve them the rest of their lives out there in the work world. And we hear from employers all the time that they're not interested in future workers that have the skills but don't have what we call soft skills, but they're really critical, successful job skills in order to be successful in a career.
We've been hearing a lot about grit lately. Can you tell us what it is and how it applies to student success?
When we talk about grit, and we recently had our Professional Enhancement Day here at Indian River State College, and we brought in a nationally recognized expert in grit. His name's Paul Stoltz. And grit has to do with that element inside of you that no matter what adverse conditions come your way, that you are determined about your goals. You are going to persevere. You are going to reach the finish line, no matter what's happening in your life. And we want to help students strengthen that. Some students don't hear at home a lot of support for going to college and pursuing their goals. When they get to us, we want them to have that everywhere they turn, in the classroom, with the advisors, when they're registering, paying their fees. No matter who is touching our students, it's very important that everyone that's communicating with our students are explaining to them, yes, you can. You can do this. So grit has to do with that deeper conviction and determination that I'm not quitting. And anyone that has had a barrier, an obstacle, a medical situation, a financial situation, anything that's happened in their lives along the way while they were pursuing their goals, you have a choice then. Throw in the towel. I can't do this. I'm going to give up. I'm quitting. or making up your mind, no matter what, I'm going to find a way to finish this. I am determined to finish this. And so I think we can help students strengthening that. And we're very, very intentional about that now at our college. And bringing in Paul Stoltz was a terrific way to kick that off. And I'm working with my people in the Division of Enrollment and Student Services that we are talking that way. We are holding up the mirror with our students. And that we're helping them to look in that mirror and see, I can do this. And that there's people around them that believe in them and are very supportive of them in accomplishing their goals.
What about the relationship between those soft skills and skills like grit? Would you say one is more important, or how do they help each other?
I think they're very connected. I think that when you're talking about resilience and then you're talking about problem solving, which is one of our learning outcomes, they're very connected. You persevere to solve the problem. And I think in order to achieve the learning outcomes that students are accomplishing with us, that perseverance, resilience, dealing with adversity is very much a part of it. Because sometimes you're working on a project in your class that is helping you to think more critically. It's expanding your brain. It's helping you to sort out and to anticipate challenges and not quit and not give up, but to persevere. If you're working with peers on a project, if you're working with a faculty member on better understanding a problem or better understanding a chapter or something they're trying to learn, that they don't, when it gets hard, that they don't quit, that they don't give up, and that they just believe in themselves, that they can do this.
Just keep swimming.
Keep swimming. You bet. And sometimes it takes somebody believing in you. I mean, I think everyone that is listening to this can think about in their lives that there was somebody somewhere that believed in them, perhaps at a time when they didn't believe in themselves, maybe not believe in themselves to the degree that that person was saying, I know you can do this. And sometimes that's what makes all the difference. And so that's what we want to do here at Indian River and have students experience that everywhere they turn.
People keep on learning.
Coming up next is an excerpt from the video series Blank on Blank. In this piece, we hear an interview from WNYC's Leonard Lopate Show with writer David Foster Wallace.
I played real serious tennis when I was a child. I played it enough to start to feel like it was beautiful.
You were 17th in the United States Tennis Association's Western section when you were 14 years old.
That sounds very impressive. That's a regional ranking, and it means that I was probably 4,000th in the nation for my age group.
But could you have been better? Was it a matter of choice that you didn't pursue it?
I perhaps could have been somewhat better. One of the interesting things about playing competitive sports as a child is that you confront your own limitations rather starkly at a certain point. For the first couple of years, I was very good and was regarded as promising. And then after I developed for 2 or 3 years, it became very clear exactly how good I was going to be, which is I could probably be a good college player, but that I was never going to have professional potential or anything.
And so you passed up on it.
I didn't pass up on it. I kept playing, but there's a difference between training. I mean, the people who seriously play devote their lives to it, sort of the way monks do. I mean, you don't date. You go to bed at a certain time. You eat certain ways. You practice 10 to 12 hours a day. And I mean, the difference between practicing 3 hours a day and practicing 12 hours a day is everything. And I certainly never trained seriously after the age of 16.
You also, at that point, attracted to other things like writing?
I was not that attracted to writing originally. I read a great deal. My parents read a great deal. I do know that as my interest in tennis waned, my interest in academics increased. Yeah, I mean, I started doing my homework in high school and discovering that it was somewhat fun. And then in college, I barely even played on the team because just classes were a lot more interesting.
But then there's also the drug factor here, which plays a major role in this book.
Yeah. You know, it's real interesting. I was a very difficult person to teach when I was a student, and I thought I was smarter than my teachers, and they told me a lot of things that I thought were retrograde or outdated or BS, and I've learned more teaching in the last 3 years than I ever learned as a student, and a lot of it is that when you see students work where the point, whether it's stated or not, is basically that they're clever. And to try to articulate to the students how empty and frustrating it is for a reader to invest their time and attention in something and to feel that the agenda is basically to show you that the writer's clever. Mm-hmm. All the kind of stuff, right? When I'm doing my little onanistic, clever stuff in grad school, that when my professors would talk to me about it, I go, well, they don't understand, I'm a genius, blah, 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 blah. Now that I'm the teacher, I'm starting to learn. It's like the older you get, the smarter your parents get. Now I'm starting to learn that they had some smart stuff to tell me.
And you're probably further victimized by all of this because certain kinds of students will gravitate to your class, and those are people who think that they're kindred spirits.
Yeah, in a certain way, although the only way that I'm well known at Illinois State is that I'm the grammar Nazi. And so any student whose deployment of a semicolon is not absolutely Mozart-esque knows that they're going to get a C in my class. And so my classes tend to have like 4 students in them. It's really a lot of fun.
If you would like to hear more Blank on Blank, subscribe to their YouTube channel or check out their webpage, blankonblank.org.
Boiled Red Snapper 2. Clean a red snapper, sew it up in mosquito netting, and boil it in salted and acidulated water. Drain carefully, unwrap, and serve with tomato sauce.
From Indian River State College, thank you for listening to Pioneer Radio. And now, we will hear a brief history of Earth Day from Joe Phelps and Aaron Cartmill.
For the last few years, I've participated in the lights-off event of Earth Hour. Every spring, for 60 minutes, I turn off the phone and the TV and bring out the candles and pretend that Thomas Edison never invented the incandescent light bulb. But I'm not alone. Coordinated by the World Wildlife Fund, 187 other countries and territories took part. Special landmarks such as the Sydney Opera House, Big Ben, the Eiffel Tower, and the Statue of Liberty go dark. It is in part of the concerted effort to recognize our energy dependence and take action on climate change. The event is also a precursor to the much larger springtime event that takes place April 22nd, Earth Day. Earth Day began in 1970, sparking the modern environmental movement, and is now the largest secular observance in the world. Celebrated by more than 1 billion people each year. Port St. Lucie's Oxbow Eco Center is celebrating Earth Day on Saturday, April 29th, and Pioneer Radio got a chance to talk with Environmental Volunteer Coordinator Aaron Cartmill about the landscape that led to the very first Earth Day 47 years ago.
People were not, they didn't know about the negative impacts. They didn't know that changing your oil and then just dumping it down the drain. They dumped everything they could down the drain then, you know. They didn't deep well injections, you know, into our aquifer system. Just, you know, going out and dumping their trash in the woods behind their house.
Troubled by the 1969 Santa Barbara oil spill, in which 100,000 barrels of oil were dumped on the Southern California coast, U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson took action. Inspired by the Vietnam War teach-ins, in which university students and professors across the country debated the United States' involvement in Vietnam, Nelson wanted teach-ins about environmental protection. And on April 22, 1970, 20 million people mobilized to protest the deterioration of the environment. This led to big victories for the planet.
That resulted in the creation of the EPA. I mean, that's huge. That resulted in new policies, the Endangered Species Act and the Clean Air Act and Water Quality Improvement Act. So it's done beautiful things, and it's grown and it's continued.
And while some victories were scored, some might say we are right back where we started in 1970. Aaron Cartmill explains.
And it was really awesome and amazing, and it grew. And then it turned into this really cool celebratory event, education, and they call them teach-ins, right? And people kind of uniting for this common cause just because they enjoy nature, they enjoy the environment. It's 47 years ago, right? This is the 47th Earth Day coming up. And now our Earth Day this year, because there is a Earth Day network, right? We'll be marching on Washington. It has literally come full circle, and not in a good way. You know, we don't want to be back where we started.
All the more importance to reignite people's passion with the Earth. Aaron says it begins with education and raising awareness.
It's teaching people how their lifestyles and how their choices are impacting our environment. So whether it's recycling, whether it's, you know, reducing the packaging that you buy, and to our watershed and our water quality issues.
Whether Earth Day or Earth Hour, there are many reasons to get outside and get back in touch with our planet.
There's a, you know, intrinsic beauty that comes with nature. There's a calmness and a serenity that comes with enjoying the outdoors without a lot of human influence, without, you know, skyscrapers and the noise. And St. Lucie County's preserves are a place to go and experience that intrinsic beauty. And you know, there's a lot of health benefits to it as well. It costs nothing. St. Lucie County is a beautiful place to live, and ecologically we have a lot of kind of precious gems here, from the Indian River Lagoon to the St. Lucie River, you know, to our scrub habitats, to our hardwood hammocks, and I mean, there's just, it's a treasure trove.
As author and environmentalist Wendell Berry eloquently put, the soil is the great connector of lives, the source and destination of all. It is the healer and the restorer and resurrector, by which diseases passes into health, age into youth, death into life. Without proper care for it, we can have no community, because without proper care for it, we can have no life. You can learn more about the Port St. Lucie Oxbow Eco Center from their website, oxboweco.com, and make sure to mark your calendars for their Earth Day Festival, Saturday, April 29th, from 10 to 3.
They say he didn't have an enemy. His was a greatness to behold. He was the last surviving progeny, the last one on the side of the world. He measured a half mile from tip to tail, silver and black, with powerful fins. They say he could split a mountain in two. That's how he got the Grand Canyon. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Some say they saw him at the Great Lakes. Some say they saw him off of Florida. My mother said she saw him in Chinatown. But you can't always trust your mother. off the Carolinas, the sun shines brightly in the day. The lighthouse glows ghostly there at night. The chief of a local tribe had killed a racist mayor's son. He'd been on death row since 1958. The mayor's kid was a rowdy pig, spit on Indians and lots worse. The old chief buried a hatchet in his head. Life compared to death for him seemed worse. The tribal brothers gathered in the lighthouse to sing and tried to conjure up a storm or rain. The harbor parted, a great whale sprang full up, caused a huge tidal wave. The wave crushed the jail and freed the chief. The tribe let out a roar. The whites were drowned, the browns and reds set free. But sadly, one thing more. Some local yokel member of the NRA kept a bazooka in his living room. And thinking he had the chief in his sights, threw the whale's brains out with a lead harpoon. Let's great American whale. Let's great American whale. Let's great American whale. Let's great American whale. Well, Americans don't care for much of anything. Land and water the least. Animal life is low on the totem pole, with human life not worth more than infected yeast.
Americans don't care. Red snapper a la Babette. Clean the fish and rub with salt and pepper inside and out. Boil in salted water to which has been added a small bunch of parsley, a celery root, two sliced onions, a chopped carrot, and a blade of mace. When done, take up, sprinkle with crumbs, dot with butter, and brown in the oven. Strain the liquid, thicken with butter and flour cooked together, pour around the fish, and serve.
If you would like to work with the Pioneer Radio team, sign up for MMC 2100 Writing for Mass Communication with Dr. Brooks, or attend the Radio Club's weekly meetings, Fridays from 1 to 3 at the station. Come join the fun where your voice can help make a difference.
Hello, my name is Manushka Telusma. Welcome to an interview with the Ambassador Club officer. Today I'm here with Annette Godfrey, the club president, and Lily Amenez, the treasurer. To begin with, tell us about the Ambassador Club. What do you guys do? What is the main goal, the mission of the club?
Well, we are ambassadors to the college. We're officially affiliated with IRSC. We do a lot of volunteering at campus events. We plan events. We do a lot of community outreach programs, and we help with programs like that, and we do a lot of charity and those kind of things.
I think a lot of it is to really push the student body to get involved and practice their leadership skills, to either lead the club, lead events, and be involved by like having stations. Promoting is a big thing we do when we put on events or we're involved in events like collaborating. We'll do a lot of promotions. We'll hand out flyers. We'll word of mouth, social media. And it's just getting out of your comfort zone.
Okay. Can you guys share some of the activities that the club have been doing on campus?
Well, our most recent event was the Winter Ball.
Okay.
That was a formal dance event where we had a lot of food, a lot of music, a lot of fun.
That sounds interesting.
We even crowned the best dressed, the king and queen, kind of like a prom king and queen.
So that went off really well. And we did Club Rush in the beginning, which was really fun. We dressed up as Men in Black and got people involved. We also do a lot of collaborations. Mm-hmm. We send out our members to get involved in other events and just make sure we're known as a club and to have other people feel comfortable with getting involved and expressing their leadership.
Okay, Annette, what are some activities that you guys been doing that can help students with their career path?
I think especially with planning the winter ball, once you learn to work in teams and groups and work with other people, that looks really good on a resume, especially if you have a position in the club or a leadership role. People like to see that you know how to deal with other people and you know how to lead or work with other people. So I think employers really look for that.
How can students get involved with the Ambassador Club?
Well, you can email either Erica Strobridge or myself on River Life. You can find our emails there. And just send us an email or come to one of our club meetings. It's every second Tuesday in KSU 107 at 2 o'clock. Okay. And there's usually free food.
What do you guys do during club meeting?
We usually talk about whatever next event we're planning or what events we want to volunteer at or what kind of community outreach or any charity events we want to help out, like maybe the Helping Hands Committee. We might want to help about that. Or and, of course, eat food. So,
why do you guys think students should consider to be a member of the Ambassador Club?
I think it would not only be a great experience to really grow as a leader, but also you meet so many different people through the Ambassador Club. People you usually wouldn't run into because of the particular degree that you might be in right now. You get to network. You get to go to different kinds of events. You meet influential people. You meet just regular students. You get to connect with them and make a relationship and branch out as not only just a student that comes to a class, but is putting the extra effort to be involved and really know their community and just get to make the college not just a school you come to, but also kind of like a second home, a place where you can feel comfortable and have somewhat of a family.
Well, I mean, there's free food.
As for right now, what are you guys working on?
Right now, we're collecting box tops and soda can tabs. And those are going to go to Ronald McDonald House Charities. They're an organization that helps families of sick children live near where their kids are getting treatment so they don't have to be really far away from their kids.
What do you want everybody to know about the Ambassador Club?
The one thing about the Ambassador Club that I personally didn't understand when I first got introduced to it is how close-knit of a family you become. And you just learn to encourage one another, to shoot for every goal that you have, and get involved in events that you usually bypass when you're just a student. You just kind of walk past and you're like, oh, that's nice, they're doing something. But now you're involved, and you're the one reaching out to other students, like, come, you know, let's get involved and have a good time. And, you know, it really gives you an opportunity to meet with people that you usually wouldn't socialize with necessarily because you're so busy. And the more you branch out, the more people take notice.
Is there anything else you would like to share with us, Annette?
You know what? I think I want to share my favorite quote. And it's from Michelangelo. And that is that the greatest danger in each of us lies not in setting our mark too high and not achieving it, but in setting our mark too low and actually achieving that.
Wow. Lily? I do not have a quote, but I think the biggest thing would be don't be afraid to step out, because even if you fail when you step out, at least you stepped out and you know now how to do better. And you learn from that, and you don't let your failures keep you down, but you use them as learning experiences to push forward harder, better, and more precise, and just have fun along the way. I think that's the biggest thing we consider, is that this whole thing is a learning experience, but also such an enjoyment.
This is a song about a man who had a lot to do with music. As a matter of fact, a relished memory in my mind he was, and a good musician, might I say so. This man was named Beethoven. No, he was named Beethoven. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask him to forgive us. Roll over and listen to a little of this.
Thank you for listening to the 7th edition of Pioneer Radio. This show is produced by Cara Diocio, Yvonne Deem, Manuska Tulusma, Joe Phelps, and Dr. Matthew Brooks. We'd also like to thank those who made producing this show possible. Brian Lane, Joe Leonardine, Dr. Bruce Fraser, WQCS, and Indian River State College. I'm Amanda, and I'll see you next time.
For you new people, I only have one rule. Everyone fights, no one quits. If you don't do your job, I'll shoot you. You get me?
We get you, sir!